where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Over here.
We're talking about burnout. This is how we defeat burnout.
How much longer do you have?
6 more days.
6 more days. We've got 3 more days. Okay, so we're here at a coffee shop. This is the first time that I've done this like live with a person. I've usually got the person on the other end of the phone. Tell us who you are and where to find you on the Twitter.
Hey, I'm Megan Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at Megan Lloyd.
All right, at Megan Lloyd. And is this your first Twitter chat that you've hosted?
This is my
moderated?
Third one that I've moderated.
Okay, wow, cool. What were the other two
about? It's my fourth one. I moderated.
Man, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, my first one I moderated over mentoring because I was still a fairly young to the profession teacher. And then I did a co-moderation one with Adrian Four over classroom management, and we answered all of our, I guess, all our questions in memes, which was pretty fun. And then I did one a few weeks, really back in November over electives because I'm a choir teacher.
Yes.
So how important electives are to our school.
Okay.
And to our school culture. And so, but this one is over, I kind of called it Survive and Thrive, which it's over fighting burnout, which I think is something that all teachers are struggling with right now, especially this time of year.
Yeah. Are you feeling the burnout, especially with these fidget spinners?
Oh, yes.
So my daughter's got hers. Her uncle brought both of them one the other day, and I've just been like, oh my word. Oh my word. Like in bed, we're watching TV. You know, they come and we've been watching The Wonder Years at night, and they're spinning their spinners. I'm like, all right, take them. We're going to put them away.
Well, I know like this year, like there's just been so much extra that teachers have had going on. I mean, we had the election. We've had this crazy legislative session that I think we predicted it was going to be insane. I don't think we predicted it was going to be this level of insane.
Right.
And we've had the fidget spinners and the slime and the bottle flipping. Everything else you can possibly go through. And I think, you know, we're all, you know, we've done our best and we've done what we've been doing, but we're all to that point that we're like, I don't know if I can make it anymore. And I think there was a lot of teachers feeling that in January. I know I was feeling it then too. So
what do you do to fight the urge to scream?
I just try to find, you know, for me, it's just a balance. You know, I made it a goal for myself this year to leave work at work, which sometimes for teachers is super hard to do because we want to, you know, give our best and be excellent all the time. But for me, it was just, you know, when 3:34 o'clock hits, if I didn't get it done today.
Thank you.
If I didn't get it done today, it can get done tomorrow. And if it's an absolute emergency, keep waiting.
Down the hallway. Sorry, my kid's here with me. Sorry about that.
And I also just found for me, just having outside interests in doing things outside of my job and surrounding myself with people who, yes, they may not be educators, but they kind of get it. And
yeah.
So, you know, have those moments where it's okay not to talk about your job all the time and to have fun and just to go out and be with people and just kind of... For me, it's just hobbies.
What do you do for fun?
Well, I have this Australian Shepherd that is a handful. And
so cute.
He's adorable.
Hershey
dog. He's adorable. But we go hiking. We go running. Like, I'm actually a pretty lazy person when it comes to physical activity. But I have found this year, and just really within the last couple of weeks, that if I exercise or do something physical, it makes it a little bit better. I'm not as like, I'm gonna lose time. But yeah, so I love to spend time with my dog. I love to go out with friends. I love, we're here at a coffee shop. I have made it some goal sometimes to visit every single coffee shop in Tulsa that I can.
That's fun.
And so I try to go there. I try to like get out and just, you know, I'm a huge extrovert, so I need people.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just, you know, getting out and knowing other people, you know, but there's sometimes that I don't want to do that and I just want to stay at home and read. And reading and getting lost in a book for me is like one of the best ways I can fight burnout. And I can fight feeling so tired.
You're a West Wing Weekly watcher.
Oh, I love
West Wing Weekly listener, West Wing watcher. Yes. Are you caught up right now?
I mean, I'm not caught up on the West Wing Weekly podcast. I haven't been listening to that in a while. But I mean, I have been watched the entire series probably about 6 times.
I'm on my 4th. So yeah, I feel you. I feel like we share a lot of things in common. So I'm even more sad that you're leaving, because this is our first time to actually meet face to face. Anyway, so what's your favorite question for the podcast? I mean, for the chat tomorrow night?
Probably my favorite question that I have out there is, what do you and your other educator friends do outside of the school day for fun? And it's not just what do you do for fun, but like, how do you pull in that community of that people that you're with, and what are you doing to have fun and to, you know, be together and spend time together and, you know, kind of bring joy back into each other's lives? That's a question I personally really love. A question that I think everybody's really going to like is, how do you find joy in an educational climate right now that's anything but joyful?
Yeah.
How do we find that joy, and how do we find that that passion for what we do and what we love when we are just bombarded daily with so many things and so many people that don't love what we do and don't understand our passion for what we do?
Awesome. What's your favorite thing you did with the choir this year?
My favorite thing I probably did with my choir this year was I do this every year, and I feel like this year was probably the best year they've ever done it, is I always end my spring concert with the song Seasons of Love from Rent. Let my 8th graders kind of work through and create some small groups and do some solos and small group performance with that. But then I also have my alumni come on stage and join us.
That is so fun.
And this is probably the biggest alumni group I had come on stage and join us for that final song. So that's always just super special. And I kind of knew that it was most likely going to be my last concert there. So
yes.
It was like a bittersweet moment.
Yes.
And it's a really wonderful musical moment. So
I taught in a school in North Tulsa 6 years ago, and I had pre-K, kindergarten, and first graders, and I would play the guitar and they would sing that song, and we were asked to sing at the little talent show there, and it was the cutest. It was awesome, all those little kids singing that song.
That's so precious.
Yeah. So, all right, well, thank you so much for joining me for the podcast, and I look forward to tomorrow night's chat.
I'm excited.
Yay, thanks. Right, now we can just hang out.
Yay.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Oklased podcast, everyone. This week, we had a second to sit down and chat with Megan Lloyd. We were in a coffee shop, and it was really loud. So I apologize for all that background noise and the noise of me talking to my kiddo. But, you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, right?
Indeed. But, you know, I would think Megan in a coffee shop would be pretty fun.
I had a blast, and I hope she doesn't think I'm a weirdo. You know, we talked about how I'm not a big hugger before,
right.
And I could tell she was lingering for that hug goodbye, which now I'm making it even more awkward, I feel, talking about it. So I'm like, is she standing?
Do I go in for it?
Hug?
Wait a second.
Do I need to go in? And so we hugged, and it was great. And I really like her. I really, really like her.
She's super, super duper fun. And you can find her on the Twitters at Megan Lloyd with a G-H.
And you can... What's that?
With a G-H. Megan Lloyd.
Yes. Yes. And you can find Scott here on the Twitters at Teach From Here.
Indeed.
And I am at ebarn73, and you're listening to Oklased.
We hope you're listening to Oklased.
We haven't created a Twitter handle for us, have we?
Nah, I don't know that I could keep up with another Twitter account.
You know, I think I need a 5th Twitter account.
I mean, if you want to, by all means.
Whatever. So you may be able to find us at Oklased. We'll see about that.
There's at least a hashtag.
There is a hashtag. Yes, there is. So this week we got to talk about
burnout.
Burnout.
It was sort
boundaries.
Of yeah, boundaries. Let me see. I didn't really like how Megan kind of described it for her chat, but she called it survive and thrive. Is
yes.
What she called. But then I'm going to add into the title of the chat and donuts and drinks.
And yes, it was.
So some there were just too many good tweets this week to even get them all. Because when
it was a really difficult read.
When it came to books, donuts, and drinks, there was just too much going on. So, Aaron, why don't you send through... a question one? Oh no, tell me. Yes, you went through.
No, so I went through when we get down there. I went through the day after and liked every single donut because I do like donuts.
Good donut. So I went through
that question and put a heart on every response. And I think that that has to be, for that chat at least, the most widely answered question. I mean, the most populated question that was answered. So.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right, question number one. What healthy boundaries do you have you created to keep your work at work? And so do you have any specific boundaries for yourself, Scott?
No, it's terrible.
I don't either. No, I'm the worst. But part of me is my job is also my passion, so it's okay for me. It's like my hobby.
Right, so then you have a question of whether you keep doing it or not. I do it when I want to, and I do it at school. How's that sound?
Yeah. No, that's me too. I really liked what Josh had to say. And of course, he's changed his name again. He is now JFlo, semi-adult.
Yeah.
And that's Mr. Josh Flores. And you can find him at Mr. Josh Flores. He said, I just gave up and accepted that teaching is a lifestyle. Inspiration for better ideas, lesson instruction is all around us. And that summed up what I was going to say, but better.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Better than me.
Yeah, he's pretty better than a lot of folks. I enjoyed what Samantha Kibble said. She is at SJ Kibble. She said, hello, my name is Miss Kibble, and I take too much school home. Hashtag first step, hashtag honesty. And she put a lot of quotes in there, which cracked me up, because I think a lot of teachers cannot get done between 7:30 and 3:30 what needs to get done to effectively teach children.
No, for sure not. My mother-in-law, a couple of years ago, she teaches as well. She said, all right, this year my goal is to not bring papers home to grade. I'm just going to stay at work until I get it done. And then she was at work until 7 or 8 p.m. two nights a week. And so that didn't work either, because then you don't have a family life.
Right. It's crazy. Super crazy.
You just got to figure out how to make it all work.
Right. Question two, hobbies and outside interests aside from our jobs keep us sane and focused. What are some of your hobbies and outside interests? I really like hanging out with the fam. So that's a hobby. I like to travel when I can, which isn't too often. And I like to read a lot. So there's kind of all of that going on. But Val Robertson, who is at rambling_reader, said art journaling. I'm terrible, but I love it. Also, I read about a book a day in the summer.
A book? Wow, a book a day.
Yeah, you got to swallow before you speak, Aaron. And
she had me all choked up there. I was a runner, and then last January I had back surgery, and I'm not really allowed to do that anymore. So I'm trying to embrace being a bicycler, because I'm not allowed to mountain bike anymore either, which I did a lot of beforehand. So I'm trying to embrace this being a road biker thing.
Okay.
And with that, I get to listen to a lot of podcasts now, and so that's kind of nice. I'm loving the podcast Presidential, if I haven't mentioned it before. But I liked what Aaron Baker had to say here, and I think it just goes into question one a little bit too. Blurred lines between professional and personal interests. I really enjoy Okla Ed on a personal level, like a hobby. And I kind of am the same way. And Scott, like, you and I are friends personally now because of Okla Ed. Not that we get to see each other in real life very often.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often, but it's fun when it is. We cackle away like we've known each other for a long time. So that's always exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Super. So
question three, I fight burnout by reading. What non-educational book is your go-to book that you can read over and over and over again? And I'll be honest, I think the only one...
I just really want to interrupt. Our listeners cannot see kind of... Aaron and I work from basically a transcript. And Aaron totally cheated on this and did not submit anything specific.
I didn't. Because as I'm reading through the log, I mean, people were tweeting great books, and I was like, yep, too good. Yep, yep, I'd reread that one. Yep, yep. So the only one that I could say I've reread more than once, well, more than twice, is Catcher in the Rye, and then Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Those are my only two reread books.
There were a lot of people who said they have a hard time rereading things. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, no, Anne said that for sure. You know, and I get it. But so my husband and I just started rewatching Lost from the beginning.
Okay.
We watched it, you know, many years ago, and we just started it. And I feel like reading a book sometimes is like rewatching Lost. It was so weird the first time and had so many like holes that when you watch it the second time, it's almost like rereading it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that with Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance for sure. I was like, oh, wow, there's so many things that I'd forgotten. Or, you know, if you go back through a book, you can find really great quotes the next time around. Sometimes it's, I mean, like, especially like a C.S. Lewis, which several people referred to.
Yep.
They are so meaty. You can read it for content the first time. And then when you, on your second read and your third read, you're just like, wow, that was actually pretty heavy, you know, and I missed that the first time.
I've noticed that as well with things that I've read. I really liked what Stacey Romerman said. She is at Stacey R-M-A-N. She said, I successfully read The Hunger Games and unsuccessfully read War and Peace every year, winky emoji. And I kind of feel the same way. I would love to try and read War and Peace, but I've managed to read like the first five pages and I never get through it.
My husband is on like month three of War and Peace. You know, I mean, it's not like he's like sitting and just devoting hours to it just whenever he gets to it. But he's on month three of War and Peace on the first read through.
That's just a big meaty pile of pages.
It's huge. Well, and that Russian literature is hard anyway. I mean, like they go into long, detailed descriptions of their characters a lot of times.
Right. I would say, though, the one book series, and I don't read it every summer, but the one book series I have read over and over is the Wheel of Time book series by Robert Jordan. It's like 13 books long or some crazy horrendous amount. And I've read the first five or six books at least five times. And I've read the first
really?
Book. Yeah, the first book more than that. So I'm not a big repeat reader, but those bad boys got the repeat business, I'll tell
but
you
But that
what.
One's one, huh?
I thought
that's
so.
Awesome.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
So I kind of cheated on question 3B also.
Yeah, you did.
What books are you going to read this summer? You can include educational guru type books on the list if you must. And so I cheated because Dan Van Der Veeren, which is at RTB Coaching, Stephanie Heim, who's at Mrs. Heim, and Drew Zout for Summer. You can find him at Drew C75. They all had pictures of the books that were on their summer reading list, and I said that they were ready to go or taunting them. Like, you know, sometimes if you've got that stack, it's looking at you and you're like, you haven't devoted enough time to me. Yeah. How are you going to get through this entire stack? You know, I think that them having their books on hand was they get extra points for that one.
Indeed, having them already. But like you said, that stack, you're looking at it going, it's not getting smaller.
No.
Summer's almost gone.
Yeah.
I really love Brant Nyberg. He is at Principal Nyberg. He's a frequent contributor from Wyoming. He said, I love going back through my Calvin and Hobbes collection. And
yes,
I'm telling you, young teachers, if you have not had a Calvin and Hobbes, if you don't have one of the Calvin and Hobbes books, you are missing out.
I think it's a really great comic book for teachers because, you know, he's a kid and he thinks like a kid, and we've all got that kid.
We do.
In our classroom, you know.
Or we are that kid.
That's a great one. Or you are definitely that kid.
Question 4, how do you find joy in an educational climate that sometimes is anything but joyful?
You know, I am a kind of a go with the flow. I can really get in ruts, you know, if I focus on it too much. I liked what John Bennett had to say, and I think it kind of sums me up as well. Joy is in the efforts we make, helping others, helping ourselves, rolling against ego. He said, I find joy in addressing our curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, get in there, but not so deep that you're going to get hung up in it. You know, and we make our own joy. So we've got to find time for that.
Yeah, this was a hard one for me to answer just because it really is frustrating right now. Michelle Knight, though, and she is at M Knight 08, and that's Knight like as in knight in shining armor. She said, yes. Seeing the successes of my kids and staff in the face of the struggles we face together. And you know what? When you're digging the post holes and you're putting your fence post in, you see no progress. It's frustrating. It's terrible. If the sun's out, it's just uncomfortable. But then when you turn and look and you see the fence you've created, or the forest you've planted or whatever, sometimes it's just, you can't see it until the end. She was right on with that one. So I thought that was an excellent response.
I think teachers do so good. They're so resilient. They're like little kiddos sometimes. You know, we say that our kids bounce back so quickly after being sick. And I think teachers kind of do the same thing. You know, even though there is this huge deficit, even though we are always on the chopping block, we still find ways to teach those kids in the face of adversity. Mm-hmm. And I loved her tweet there. That was really good. And I think it sums up teaching pretty well.
Yes, indeed. Indeedly do.
Question number 5. Scott, what is your favorite type of donut? It has nothing to do with this burnout, but I'm just curious.
My answer to that was any donut that's gone through the grease.
That's really good. I really like the chocolate cake donuts. They're probably my favorite. If I've got, you know, the big assorted box, I'm going to the chocolate cake donut. Mm-hmm. But I will eat anything in the box. Anything in that box.
I am not too picky when it comes to a donut.
There's a Bavarian cream filled. I feel like I gotta go to Krispy Kreme as soon as we're done here.
You may need to, and then go run.
No, can't run. I'll bike.
Oh, that's right.
So Howard K. Kiyuna, and you can find him at Howard Kiyuna. That's K-I-Y-U-N-A. He said, most anything that comes in a dozen, Krispy Kreme glazed cheese. And I liked it because he's like, they have Groupons. And so, this guy definitely has had a few donuts if he's got the Groupons going, you know. But that's me too. I love the glazed donuts, but really anything that comes in that dozen is for me.
Yeah, indeed. That's a good one. Glenn Meek, who is at PHH Science, said, any with or without holes. And what I liked about his is if we'll click into the show notes, he had an excellent GIF that went with it that was pretty clever. So I thought all of that was pretty funny. That whole donut discussion, because... if you are an avid follower of the Oakla Ed hashtag, just in general, donuts come up several times a week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, with or without chats.
Right. Yes. And if you're new to the Oakla Ed or you don't participate in the Oakla Ed because you're getting this in through Facebook or some other place, the donut discussion occurs on a frequent basis.
Yes.
And it's always fun. Sure. Yeah. Question 6. How does teacher burnout affect student learning?
Scott, this could be its own podcast. I mean, this question right here.
It could be because, you know, if it's obvious I'm not enjoying what I'm doing, that just bleeds over to the children or whoever. Yeah, or even if it's obvious that if I'm leading PD and it's obvious, what are the teachers going to, they're going to be like, this guy doesn't give a rip. I mean, burnout is tough.
Burnout is really tough. Evan Shin, who's at Baritone Blogger, said, teaching is fun. First and foremost, when there's no joy or love, it's time to take a mental health day for you and them. And I put 2 on here, so it's probably trying to make up for where I said, you know, too many greats earlier. Andy Goer, who is at Give Pull or Put Pitch, said, question back at you, what's better, an old frustrated T or an unqualified incompetent T? Hashtag teacher shortage.
That is a good point.
You know, I mean, we may be facing the burnout pretty hardcore, but unless something comes up with the budget where we can start hiring actual teachers, I don't know if you can get any worse than a burnt out teacher if you've got, you know, unqualified teachers in there.
Oh yeah, but neither choice is good, and that was my response to that one, was just flat out one word: neither. Neither choice.
Neither. Yeah.
Natasha Jefferson, who is at Jefferson_first, spelled out, said, students deal with T's that aren't passionate or patient. T's don't want to be there, and neither do students. And I think that's one of those spiraling dooms of death situations when you get into those things.
And it's so hard, because what do you do as a certified teacher who is now burnt out? What field do you go into next to find your passion, find your joy? You know, it's hard because this is what we know, and to take yourself out of that and put yourself into a different situation, which is probably what needs to be done.
Right.
You know, what do you go to? It's a really hard situation being specialized in something. But like you said, if there's no passion, if there's no joy, if there's just hatred going on, mm-hmm. nobody's getting anything out of it. The teacher, the student, the administrator, no, there's no joy.
It's a ginormous grump fest. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So, question seven.
Yeah. Summer's quickly approaching. How are you going to make time to relax and refocus? Do you have a summer plan, Scott?
Well, I have a couple things going on. One of the things enjoyable for me is I love to work with other teachers. And so I'll be doing some stuff at Meridian Technology up in Stillwater, and I'm excited about that. And if you go to their webpage and search T4E, it's in there, and you can participate in that. I'll be at the ISTE conference. I enjoy that conference, so I'm super excited on that. And then the missus and I will be celebrating our 20th anniversary with a sort of a long-ish weekend getaway. And that's all in
June. Nice.
Yeah. So June.
Where are you going? Where are you and the wife going?
We're actually going to Vegas. Funny story though. Neither one of us are very big gambler people, but
yeah.
We're going to go see a couple of the Cirque du Soleil shows. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time. Mm-hmm.
I too am going to ISTE.
Oh, maybe I'll see you there.
I'm hoping so.
I might not, because there's like 18 jillion people.
No. Have you ever been to ISTE before?
Yeah, a couple times.
Okay, last year was my first, and whoa. I mean, seriously, whoa. I'm also going to go down to iPad Palooza in Austin with at Mrs. Beck. Mm-hmm. And then we've got iPad Palooza OU in August.
Ooh, I forgot to mention that. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. And then my husband is doing the Colorado Trail again. So we're going to, my daughters and I live in our van for 2 weeks playing SAG for him while he does the mountain passes and such on his mountain bike.
Did he, are they taking the same path they took last year?
It was 2 years ago and no, they, well, pretty much the same, but they're cutting out the sections that were ridiculous and never need to be done again.
Did it once so you can buy the t-shirt.
Yeah. Okay. So we're just going to hit the super enjoyable passes this time, which cuts it from 3 weeks down to 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. But Amy Garrett, and she is at Amy Garrett 5, and that's an A-I-M-E-E if you want to follow her. She says, rethink curriculum. It's relaxing to know the year ahead is planned. And I'm kind of in the same boat with her. I really liked that, and I picked that one because I will be doing a lot of the same thing. I'll be trying to take the Scott Hazelwood approach, and I'm going to try and flip some classes. So I'm going to flip it all around and make some videos this summer.
You go, girlfriend. I've been known to tinker on stuff for class, and enjoyably so, tinker on stuff in the summertime. The ed tech wizard at West Fryer, he had a great one for this one. He said, we're planning a family vacation to Yellowstone, looking forward to lots of disconnected time together in the mountains. And the missus and I would like to go to Yellowstone at some point. We actually looked at doing that this summer, but we want to take our time there.
Yeah. Well, and at Yellowstone, it is insanely disconnected. Pretty much the entire state of Wyoming, unless you're in one of those major metropolitan areas, there is no service. And that goes for the Montana area, too. We've been through, but never stopped for Yellowstone yet.
I can't wait to do it. I think it'll be fun. Question eight. Teachers that find ways to spend time with each other are happier and actually like being around each other. What are some ways you and others in your school site or from other school sites help each other out when the burnout struggle is real?
You start a podcast with your edge of friends.
That's for sure one thing to do. It's been quite enjoyable.
It sure has.
I really like Claudia Swisher. Talk about a super amazing advocate for teachers of all types. She's great. She said, find a colleague you trust to vent with. nothing, with nothing leaving the room. Just saying things out loud is in a safe place is golden.
Yes. And so I like that. I like that maybe it's a one-on-one situation. But if you find four or five of those avenues, I love, because I do the same thing. I've got my one person that I will complain to. But once you start doing it to four or five different teachers with closed doors, it becomes, I feel like it becomes a negative pushing conversation. And now five people or six people might be affected by that rather than just you and that other person. Totally agree. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and then you get into the whole trying to top them with misery situation.
Yeah.
When you get a lot of people together.
But I do think you have to vent. You have to get it out, or it's just a weight that's, you know, pulling you down, and it'll push you towards the burnout. So getting it out and knowing that maybe somebody else feels the same way, but definitely not letting it leave the room is awesome.
Those are the key words.
Yes. Irby Delgado, whom I haven't seen in this chat yet, but he had a great response. And again, I can feel it. He is at Irby. He said, Ed Camps, they helped save me. And also following these two people, and he listed the people out there, but he also listed the link to the Ed Camp Wikis page, which gives you all of the Ed Camps around the United States that you can attend. You know, I love Ed Camps. I'm kind of a geek when it comes to Ed Camps. There was a time when I thought I would see how many Ed Camps I can attend, how many Ed Camps out of state I could attend. And I just love Ed Camps. They too have saved me and have helped the passion fire burn even longer, I think.
They are amazing. And our good friend at Toby Brown has been to like over 30 of them.
I know. I'm only at 19 right now.
He went to Ed Camp USA in Washington, D.C. Well,
that is awesome. Yeah. I did Ed Camp online, and that was fun.
Oh, cool.
I met up with Hadley Ferguson there, who is the, what is she? She's like the president of Ed Camp. Mm-hmm. She's the executive director or whatever. And so then, since then, she and I have been able to collaborate on a few other things, and yeah, I love Ed Camp.
It's good stuff.
It definitely helps fight the burnout for me.
Yeah, indeed. It's great. It's super great. Can't say enough.
Question 9. What do you plan on drinking poolside? Again, nothing to do with burnout. Just curious.
I notice you left it blank, Aaron, again.
I know. And so, like, I'm a big root beer drinker. I love root beer. And so I left it blank. And then I went through and I saw lots of people are iced tea. And yeah. I thought it was like, what kind of margarita or whatever. And I'm not opposed to margaritas or wine or anything. But I was like, am I going to be lame if I'm just like, I like root beer. Can I get a root beer, please?
She didn't say adult drink. She just said, what do you plan on drinking?
And so for me, I am a root beer person, but it was hard. I mean, I liked Travis's also, so I let you put it in there. Well, you put it in there first because you're better than me. But I don't know, was I supposed to put, I really liked that Travis was going to drink iced tea by the poolside. I don't know.
There was a ton of sweet tea drinkers.
We have some sweet drinkers, man. Here. Southern sweet tea.
I do have to, and I think it's my Boom Sauce tweet, so we'll save it. But my advisor had a great tweet, so we'll get back to that in a minute. But Travis Sloat, who is at TStyle77, said, currently find the recipe for drank. I'm told it's good, as in orange drank, grape drank. Remember when we were little?
Yeah.
And we had orange drank at the at camp. You know, you had orange drank. Do you remember that? Did you ever go to camp and get orange drank?
I mean, I've been to camp, but I can't think of...
You didn't get orange drink?
I don't think I got orange drink.
10-gallon jug or whatever, and it was orange drink.
I went to the wrong camp. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Those are childhood memories you won't get to have.
I don't know. No, you're right.
What was your favorite question?
My favorite question was the one on teacher burnout and how does it affect student learning? Because I think if we know and we are able to verbalize it, then we can keep it in check. And so I just like that so that we could check ourselves.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What about you?
I really like the what's your favorite type of donut, because donuts. There's no other good.
Donuts. So my boom pops tweet of the night revolved around the donut question.
Okay.
So Brant Nyberg at Principal Nyberg, he said, in this order, warm, free, more. I think he also puts in parentheses, at Megan Lloyd is my new fave.
Yeah.
I think he really enjoyed this chat.
I think so too, and I cracked up when I saw. I almost picked that myself. My boom sauce tweet came from my advisor Tutelani Asino. He is at Tutelani, which is Tutalenai, and he said, "I'm getting some good ideas from this question." And he was referring to the "What are you drinking poolside?" question, which I had.
So sweet tea.
And I think what was really funny was in my mind's ear I could hear him, he has a little bit of an accent, and so I could just hear his tone of voice, and his inflection is a little different, and so I think I snorted and chuckled out loud when I came across
and it. When you're in doing your chat, like in your peaceful quiet space, and I don't know, whenever I do the Sunday night chat, whenever I'm actually involved in chatting, I'm usually in my bedroom, you know, by myself for that hour. And so to laugh out loud and snort would be pretty darn hilarious if, like, a passerby would see that.
Jazz is usually sitting next to me because she's watching something or reading or whatever, and I just am sitting next to her on the bed. And every now and then I'll just, you know, I have a chuckle, and she'll look at me and ask if I'm okay, and yes, I am.
That's funny. So when that does happen here, my husband will be like, is somebody else geeking out with you right now? Yes, somebody else is.
Indeed.
So what do we have going on next week?
Oh, next week, this will be an excellent conversation. I think also challenging for a lot of us, because Andre Doughty, who is at Andre Doughty, will be hosting, and he'll be talking about the subtle racism in education. So
all right.
this could be one to pay attention to, because we all bring biases and race issues with us, whether we realize them or not. And I think the way he's titled this topic is appropriate.
I did hear a couple of people say that, like, wow, is Oakland Ed becoming the chat for racism, or, you know, what? And I think that it's just something that we haven't really dealt with much. And we obviously found it was a big topic that needed to be talked about. And so hopefully, you know, his questions go into it. And he's funny, but serious enough that I think that this will be a really good conversation.
Yeah, I think he'll guide us along really well here, because it can be tricky. People are rightfully so can be very sensitive on some of these things, but it's also an issue. And we've had, I think, 4 or 5 chats this spring that have been really meaty, important, gloves coming off, offensive, you know, potentially offensive. And I'm not saying the chat is offensive, but people right. just are emotionally invested into a topic and get offended by what they read. And
right.
and we've got to have these conversations about that so that we can be mad at each other or yell at each other, but understand that we're making progress on being better. That's the goal, right?
Right. That is totally the goal. And that happens at 8 o'clock on Sunday.
It happens at 8 every Sunday, Aaron.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.